Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on the Score.
So Matt Spiegel is in for Mac.
Hello!
Mac will be back tomorrow. This hour on the Score brought to you by the Illinois Secretary of State's office. Visit www.realid.ilsos.gov. Shep is back, but he'll be out and in on paternity leave, but we're very happy for Papa Shep.
Yes, highly recommend the A block from hour one for some conversation about Shep and his baby girl, not boy. No one would be that stupid. And mounting children potentially on the wall or to the wall, I suppose.
All sorts of things. The open of the show was very strong.
Rollicking.
All should check it out on the podcast page, but don't send it to our bosses or else we'll get fired.
I just thought it was so sincere. Sitting in the hospital the day after my daughter's born, I get this nice text message, Matt Spiegel.
100%
hey, are
sincere.
You a father? Oh, that's great. I send a picture, send my daughter's name.
Yep.
And then Spiegs, 72 hours later, 96 hours later, whatever it is, thinks that I had a son. Very thoughtful, Matthew.
He's locked in. He's locked in, Chef.
I was personalizing.
Really came from the heart.
Personalizing deeply. All children, you might experience this, all children become your child. Like you just start thinking about your kid.
We are the world.
Uh-huh. Exactly. We hope the Bears.
Win with Trubisky.
No.
We weren't even going to sing today, Shep, but
What have you done?
Oh, God. So, yeah, we're all here. We're hanging out. And
my job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child.
Oh.
Is that Boylan?
That is Boylan. That is Boylan. That cuts.
It's actually my babysitter.
Cuts deep.
He's absolutely full of
garbage.
Won't
change a diaper on a child because he wants to teach it a lesson and work through its pains.
Yeah. We're developing children here, okay? Why don't you change the diaper? That child has had a dirty diaper for a while. It's dripping down the leg now. We're developing toughness in children.
I'm not a child yanker.
Yet.
Yeah, use that as a drop.
Yeah.
So anyway.
God.
It's all in context. Context is important with everything.
I hope people have been listening since moment one.
This show is fine if you listen to every minute
of
it.
If you turn it on and turn it off, we all lose jobs.
Correct. Yeah. So as long as you've listened to every minute of this show, everything is fine.
Right. And we might lose you your job if your boss happens to walk in as you're listening.
Correct. How many of my friends or teachers that have said, yeah, I used to air you guys in the classroom. I can't do that anymore.
Wait, why? When was it ever a good time to air the show in a classroom?
I don't know what kind of school these people teach in, but apparently it was an idea that was okay at some point.
Okay, yeah.
Hey, it's study hall. Let's put on those filthy bastards on the Score. That's a great idea.
What a thought. I want to also live in this world with you, Speaks, before we get your thoughts on some of the Cubs movements, because Ron Coomer is... Not Ron Coomer. David Ross is... interviewing bench coaches, potentially. Mark Loretta still has a shot for the job.
Yeah.
I just saw...
I don't think Mark Loretta is going to get that job, but...
Neither do I, but I saw John...
Big, fun-loving Grandpa Rossi.
The Cubs have interviewed ex-Padres manager Andy Green, Red Sox pitching coach Dana Levangie? Levangie? Falange? Whatever. Patrick Mooney doing some of these reporting. Mark Loretta also... But someone has texted the show about 20 times... that Ron Coomer would be a perfect bench coach for David Ross. I like the idea of living in a world of what those conversations would be like. Hey, Coom.
Well?
Coom, what do you should I pull Lester here?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right. What are we going to see this week? What are we going to go? You want to go see a movie together on the road?
Well.
It's a great film. It really is. That was Pat Hughes. He wouldn't be the good bench coach. My apologies. But yeah, it's just
this is why we have to have meetings about the bits.
My bad. Pat Hughes could just wire it in from the booth.
Can you imagine that, though? Grandpa Rossi looks over at Pat Hughes. Pat, what are you thinking? Should I pull the picture?
Well, I'm noticing...
right arm is looking tired.
Mm-hmm. David, I can't help but notice your stirrups are pulled up all the way. This uniform description brought to you by...
He's sweating thoroughly on his right side. Maybe tiring.
I don't want Coom to leave the radio booth, but if he's going to go anywhere...
That'll do it.
Help Grandpa Rossi. And that concludes that radio theater.
That's how you do it.
Perfect.
Hey, how about Coom's Corner this coming weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Hosting pregame and postgame for the Scores Bears coverage. Hub and Pat Manley.
Yes.
And Olin as part of the pregame, and then Hub and Big Cat, and I believe Pat Manley as part of the postgame.
Yes.
You know, at any moment, some big play could happen.
That's true. But it strikes me that Pat Manley and Ron Coomer are kindred spirits that need to hang out for a while and drink several beers together.
We just have like a long drive competition.
Something.
Yeah.
You know, or just... I just, maybe it's because I've worked in close proximity with both of them. I find them to be extremely affable, like just alarmingly affable.
Great teammateship.
Great teammateship. They get along with everybody. Remember we used to do the bit where Manley would come in and call a friend of his?
I enjoyed that bit.
I loved that bit. That was really fun. And Manley would just like, all right, who's on today, Pat? Yeah. Well, David Cutcliffe.
Right.
My head coach at Duke is okay, great. Let's bring him in. And Ron Coomer would be a great guy to do that with.
I agree wholeheartedly. If we could get, but I mean, the problem is that he's calling games.
Yes, he's
so
busy.
It's often difficult to get him to come in studio for the afternoon show. But if someone earlier in the day wanted to use that bit for Coom, obviously I'd be offended because they'd be taking the idea.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I actually floated the idea to Wani at the charity golf outing, and I was like, yeah, you know, we were thinking maybe you could call some friends. It's like, you know, you can call Jimmy Johnson, have him come on. He's like, Jimmy's fishing. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, you know, they play the Cowboys. You had a Cowboys tie. I thought maybe Jimmy would come on or something like that. He's like, oh, I'll just get Jerry Jones. I was like, wait, what? Yeah, screw Jimmy Johnson. Yeah, call Jerry Jones.
You got a prize.
So he's probably not going to do that either. But he says that he can get everybody.
That'd be good. That'd be A&I. Did you see what Jerry Jones' grandson is doing, by the way?
No.
Starting quarterback at Arkansas.
Mm.
Jerry Jones' grandson at Stevens' son is the starting quarterback at Arkansas.
No wonder they suck.
I wonder what size contribution Jerry made to the athletic program.
Do they play an annual game at Cowboys Stadium, or is it just...
Yes, Texas A&M.
Yeah, okay. Arkansas, Texas A&M mm-hmm. is at Jerry World every year. Man, that's an influential donor.
Right?
own a stadium? Yeah.
Powerful stuff.
That's pretty good.
It's just in. Jerry's rich.
Yes, he sure is. But so there have been a lot of moves the Cubs have actually made that have been nibbling around the periphery of seeming relevancy.
Yeah.
Right? Well, massage coordinator who's a part of the travel party... strength and conditioning, right? Tim Buss, who all the players love.
Right.
Who does the spring training, state of the address, and the pregame pep talks and those sort of things.
Mental skills department reshuffling. John Baker is staying. Bob Tewksbury is staying. Josh Lifrak, who was the head of the department, is gone. But Darnell McDonald was part of that a few years ago. Now he's gone. So, you know, you cycle through that. You ever change a therapist? Anybody out there? Yeah, me too. So, you know, it happens.
Yeah.
And then today we got news about Lester Strode, the longtime bullpen coach, who's been here for five different managerial regimes. Think about that.
I mean, do you think that's just because it's an afterthought?
I think it's because that job is often thought of as just a logistical job. Just to help guys with their routines out there in the bullpen, communicate with the manager. Hey, do you know how to use the bullpen phone? Yeah. All right, I guess I'll keep you.
Sure.
I'll keep you around. New manager comes in. All right, we chart stuff. What do we chart? All right, yeah, you can chart. Lester can chart. Let's get, you know what I mean? And Lester, very nice guy, very affable guy.
Sure.
I mean, solid at his job, but it hasn't been thought of as a spot where you could teach a lot.
An actual coach. It's just called bullpen coach for lack of a better word for it.
I mean, there's obviously a human coaching aspect of keeping guys in a good mood and helping a dude if he's had a bad couple of games. There's obviously that part of it. But a lot of times that job is somebody who transcends from regime to regime and is just part of the organization. And they're supposedly looking at this guy, Chris Young. There's several different Chris Youngs.
Yeah, there was tall, lanky.
There's tall, lanky Princeton Chris Young.
Yep.
There was former White Sox outfielder Chris Young.
Former Diamondback, yeah.
Yes. But this is former Phillies pitching coach and minor league pitcher Chris Young. But he is a young, progressive mind. How young? But he worked in San Diego with Jed. He's rumored to be getting that job. He worked in Houston with Jeff Lunau and other guys. And so if that is the hire, what you're seeing is a spot formerly held by a good guy, liked guy, capable person, but not necessarily an active analytical coach.
Right.
Now a job to be held by a possible information source, a forward thinker, and another brain to throw at the issue. So you see what I'm saying as how it's kind of emblematic of some of the way they're going about things this offseason?
I do, and I hope it's not just change for the sake of change, because I can't imagine that it's going to matter a whole lot. Lester Strode apparently is going to stay, or he's been offered another position that they're describing as prominent, according to John Heyman within the team. So it's not necessarily about Lester Strode not doing something that they want, but this is about David Ross and his comfort level. Right? David Ross has someone in mind, reportedly, for the gig.
Yeah, very possibly, and so that's somebody that could then be on the coaching staff and be part of Ross's mix.
And his circle.
But it's probably also somebody who is going to connect well with Tommy Hotovy and his analytical approach that the front office is a part of, and Craig Breslow, the Yale guy,
director of pitching.
Who is the director of pitching. It's like, if you're going to change some stuff, then, change all the parts. Why shouldn't the bullpen coach be an assistant pitching coach? He takes over when the pitching coach has to go do something. Remember Lester making a couple of pitching changes a few years back, when Bosio had to go do something?
Yeah, that's all reasonable. These headlines, it's weird, the Cubs are such a big deal in this town, and there's so much media attention on them, and there are such high standards that when there is this public collective failure, everything gets scrutinized.
Sure.
It's interesting to me. I wonder how many organizations
change bullpen coaches.
And it's a headline. Or Bruce's headline the other day, Tanny and I were joking, oh, all is well. They got rid of the massage therapist. It's kind of weird that that's a scoop from Bruce Levine with some degree of legitimacy attached to it.
Well, but think about how when they were building the thing, we covered everything breathlessly, like the arrival of the music room at a satellite to the clubhouse, the arrival of the nutrition department, the arrival of the mental skills department, all the massages, the fact that Schwarber could rehab here on site during 2016, all that stuff. So now they're rethinking some of that. And you know why? Because injury prevention has sucked.
Right.
So strength and conditioning with Tim Buss, maybe instead of just a wonderful personality, we'll also get a guy who's going to help us in terms of injury prevention. Massage therapist ought to be an extension of that with the same kind of thought processes. So so it's all sort of interrelated is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I think that makes all the sense in the world, and I'm all for it. And I am trying to manage my expectations for player movement because there have been a lot of headlines.
Sure.
There have been a lot of press releases.
And the player movement stuff is going to be the biggest.
Of course. And
it's held up. It's held up thoroughly by the Chris Bryant grievance.
Yep. And it feels like it might be minimal.
I don't agree with that.
At least minimal in terms of money spent.
Depends
maybe
how
not
much,
in terms of trades.
Depends how much money they're able to excise. If let's say they were to trade Chris Bryant, his ARB number is going to be what, 18? 20?
Yeah, probably 20.
I think 20, maybe 21. So all of a sudden, maybe you can pay somebody 20 mil or even 25 mil in the first year of a long-term deal.
Right.
So, there's those kind of scenarios that I keep thinking about where you trade somebody who's about to be a free agent in a year or two who you don't want to pay because you've decided you want to change things up.
Or you can't pay because they don't want to sign early.
But you pair it with signing a free agent. For instance, if you're dead set on bringing Castellanos back because he's good at hitting high fastballs and you like what he brought, but you want him to play left, then maybe you trade Schwarber. So you trade Schwarber, sign Castellanos, and insert him.
Right.
Maybe if you are going to trade Bryant, maybe you take a run at Donaldson on a 2-year deal, maybe, and his money replaces the Bryant Arb money. Or, you can dream big of Rendon in that spot.
Right, exactly.
If you trade Contreras, maybe you make a run at Yasmani Grandal and you pair that with the removal of Contreras. You know, so it's those kind of things. And if they did that, then all of a sudden, whatever you get back in trade, those possibilities open up. Could be anything. Could be a young pitcher. Could be, you know, a different kinds of stuff. It doesn't have, you don't have to replace bat for bat or player for player that way.
Yeah, it's a reallocation of resources is what you're talking about. And my hope and the standard that I'll be holding them to, I loved, and you weren't in when Tom Ricketts was on with Mully and Haw, but I loved having an owner of a team that I root for say, we should stop talking about windows. That is in the past. The goal is to have a team that contends every year because they have the resources to be able to do that. So erase 2021 as the end of a window and say, no, the goal is every to compete year. Next year and the year after and the year after and the year after that.
It's good owner speak. I don't know that it's a reality.
Of course.
You look around and the Yankees had to take a breath. And I don't think the Cubs should be taking a breath right now by any stretch or step back. I know that was written. I think Sahadev wrote a piece about with that. But no, Red Sox have had to do it at different times.
Yeah, but it's hopefully not as long of a rebuild. Like step back is different than full on tear down rebuild.
Without a doubt.
And you still have the resources to when it's time to win, you're there right back in the thick of things with everybody.
And I thought the other headline that came out of Ricketts was that he put it on the front office. Did you hear it that way? He said, so, you know, in his spending,
there are teams that we're spending more than multiple teams. Yeah.
Yeah. But so the correlation is not spending and winning, it's drafting. And he could not be more right. It is the steady stream of cheap, high level talent because you've drafted them and the Cubs have failed at that. Top texter has maybe been listening to me or reading my mind. Cubs will land Mookie Betts. You just watch. I all these different scenarios are playing out. You can put Mookie Betts' $27 million in arbitration on your roster if you remove Chris Bryant's $20
million. Yeah, and it's 1 year of Betts versus 2 years of Bryant.
Correct.
If Bryant loses his grievance.
Yeah, and if you decide in your mind you're going to pay Mookie Betts the $300 million that you don't want to pay Chris Bryant, how much is it worth to you to get 1 year of Mookie Betts in the middle of your window in exchange for 2 years of Bryant? How much more do you have to get to make that equitable?
Yeah, listen, I think that that is the definition of shaking things up, so I'd be all for it. It'd be, you know, Bryant would deserve a ton of celebration and appreciation on the way out the door, but if you're not going to sign him in 2 years, you can't just lose Chris Bryant for a draft pick.
Right.
So I'd have... In a vacuum, I'd have no problem with it, but you'd want to appreciate everything that he did before.
And the Red Sox could move Benintendi over and play Bryant in left since they've got Rafael Devers at third, or they could shake things up however they wanted to.
This segment brought to you by Lakeside Bank. Rich Campbell will join us from Halas Hall today where Mitch Trubisky and Matt Nagy speak. We want to let you hear from your Bears head coach on a couple of issues because he's been put in a position recently to defend the indefensible, so we'll try to figure out what truths the Bears head coach is telling coming up on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
There's a silver lining. There really is. And people can say it's cliche and they can say it sounds good, but I fully and all my heart believe that. And I don't know when it's going to happen. It's somewhere. It's somewhere. And when you finally knock it down and you figure it out and you get it, then you're going to say, okay, I see. Now, I couldn't tell. I was in the weeds then. I couldn't see it. But somewhere there's a silver lining in this whole story.
What? I don't know where it is.
It's in there somewhere. Bears head coach Matt Nagy. Hope trafficking today at Halas Hall. Rich Campbell in 30 minutes.
It should be during a game. I think that's the best place for the Bears to find a silver lining.
That's a good spot to be.
Right?
Yeah,
in a wind of some kind.
That would help. Why is everyone being so negative on these TVs that I can't turn off?
Oh, my God.
Maybe it's because you're, not good.
Had a great question, Danny, from somebody on Twitter earlier, which was a rarity. But the question was, Nagy and Mitch used to seem so normal compared to, say, Trestman and Cutler. What happened? Why are they so freaking weird now?
What is it? Like adversity reveals true character? Some expression like that?
Something like that.
Sounds good. I might have made it up.
My answer was being really bad and yet being forced to talk positively so much makes you seem inane.
Well, that's what I think it is, especially with Nagy. I think Nagy is being forced to defend the indefensible because he can't tell the truth.
Right.
And the truth is that his quarterback is not capable, more mentally than physically, of executing his offense. And maybe it's yet, right? Like, maybe it will come, but it's not looking like it will come because he is regressing. And that is not to absolve Matt Nagy of all criticism in that, because the coach's job is to maximize the quarterback.
Yeah.
And he clearly gave him too much too soon, and he's regressing because he's somehow worse this year than he was last year. Which seems impossible.
Yeah, texture says the silver lining is somewhere in his, wait for it, playbook. So funny. And Matt Nagy. He spent a lot of time in Philly.
Bottom of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Wolves Youth Hockey Program is presented by Kia. Go to chicagowolves.com/youth hockey to learn how to get your team on the ice to play during intermission of a Wolves game. We are winners. We are the Wolves. So in case you're just getting into the car, you haven't been paying attention to what the daily happenings at Halas Hall. Mitch Trubisky, after being told to watch the game film a couple of weeks after being told not to talk about the previous game, now has a new mission for how he wants to improve the Bears practice facility.
You mentioned this positive mindset, to use your words last year. Have you maintained the zero dark 10 approach and just hearing certain messages as opposed to that noise?
Yeah, I've done pretty good with that. Trying to get some of these TVs in the building turned off because you got too many people talking on TV about us and what they think about us, what we should do, what we are and what we're not. But they don't really know who we are or what we're capable of, people, or what we're going through or what we're thinking. It's just the outside viewers looking in. And so, tunnel vision, earmuffs, and just come to work every day and try to get better and get back to what we know we're capable of doing. Earmuffs.
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 You know, how often do they talk about these damn earmuffs?
Earmuffs.
Earmuffs.
It is surprisingly cold this early for Chicago.
Yeah, I know, but I mean,
I use headphones as earmuffs. That's my cheat. It's my little life hack.
Yeah, the Airbud doesn't really allow you the opportunity to do that.
That's a big reason why I stay committed to the Bluetooth overhead or over-ear headphones.
Bluetooth, not Bluetooth overhead, right? That's dangerous what you're getting into.
It's an important distinction,
yes.
Shep. Thank you.
I gotta say, I find that to be not as egregious in the full context of the quote as it was to me by reading it on the Twitter.
I'm trying to get some of these TVs in the building turned off.
If you only hear that and read that, it's like, oh my God, you pathetic bastards.
I hear all of it and it sounds worse to me. I'm the opposite.
Well,
I hear it and the only thing I think of is, like, Tanny said this probably 2 months ago, and it was, can you imagine sitting ahead of the draft, talking to Mitch Trubisky, talking to Deshaun Watson and saying, yep, that's our guy. We're moving up to get Trubisky. He can't go somewhere else.
Oh, I still thoroughly think that that is an unconscionable mistake by Ryan Pace for which he should not survive, frankly. In
survive?
Life.
In life.
In life.
Okay. He should not survive. Taketh away.
How did he survive the initial 6-hour meeting?
6 hours. 6 hours of Trubisky.
Like, well, he pops in the woods.
How do you get to the end of 6 hours and say, you know what, this guy's better than the kid who went toe-to-toe with Alabama 2 years in a row? How does that happen? No, I agree
with that.
Trying
to get some of these TVs in the building turned off.
There's a power cord to it, Mitch. Unplug it, moron.
When you just hear the TV's line alone, to me, I thought he meant they're talking negative. I can't listen to it. It was just that. But he's saying, like, what they think we should do, how they think we should. Like, what he says, like, if he hears somebody say they should go this kind of player, they should do this kind of thing, and they should do that, his job is to try and listen to his head coach, even if it's...
Yes,
you know
what I
mean?
Of course. He's saying that you don't know what we know, and you're informed, and you're only judging us based on the results, and we're judging this based on the process. But the problem with that is it's professional sports, and yeah, the results are all that matter, especially in a Super Bowl expectation season in his second year when he was supposed to be going from 101 to 202 and taking the leap that all these other young quarterbacks have made. And to all of the texters saying that earmuffs is from the movie Old School, trust us, we know. We've done that.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
we've
done that bit before. We know
earmuffs.
It's
who's in that movie.
Yeah, right. We know that it is. We know it's not about the cold weather in Chicago, but thank you for pointing that out.
I jumped to the cold weather in Chicago because it's radio. I was yes-ending, Parkins.
Yeah.
It's furthering.
I appreciate it. We've already done the old school bit, but yes, we know what they mean. We know what that is. And yeah.
Earmuffs,
blinders, no TV, television broadcast, but broadcast with no sound. And then we got to unplug these TVs.
Yeah.
It is the continual coddling.
Yeah.
Of Mitch Trubisky.
So sad.
I've described him as Kevin Durant without the talent. He's the millennial athlete. That's what he is. He's the guy who just, he tenses up when things go poorly. I swear to you, like last week, if that game would have been in Chicago, there's no way those late touchdowns happen. Because he would have been booed so mercilessly, and he would have gotten in his head. And Eddie Jackson has already said, of course, it affects him. And they've started talking openly about the boos at home.
Yeah.
If he has a couple of 3-and-outs early, I'm telling you, this thing is going to get ugly.
I don't disagree with you. Your old friend, Therese Paler.
Yeah, I love Therese.
On Yahoo, writing Yahoo football stuff, wrote a great piece on Mitch this week, I thought, and he correctly pegged him as a, quote, thinker, unquote, at the quarterback position. Like Alex Smith, who we covered closely, obviously, in Kansas City.
Yep.
But a thinker and not a player. And I got to say, that distinction at the quarterback spot means so much more to me as we watch more and more and as I get older than it used to. The quarterbacks who can have the game slowed down enough and are comfortable enough to look like they're on the playground, trusting instincts, calmly going through reads, quickly, if they see something, making a decisive choice and a throw. The guys who look like they're just playing, Rodgers, Mahomes, Watson, Favre, right?
Yep. Natural players of the game.
Yeah, and
yeah.
It's and not even
eyes in the back of their head, that type of thing.
And just quick and decisive, and let's just do that. All right. And trusting themselves, not being slow. Those are the players you want as you play this game, and it comes across like crazy improv from Mahomes, Watson, Russell Wilson, these guys, so many of the great ones, that stuff happens because they're loose. It's available to them because they are loose and they're playing, not overthinking. I think that's a very good way to describe what I watch Mitch doing.
I do too, and you know I think Therese is great, and he did cover the same teams in KC that I did, and Alex Smith and his maturation through the offense, but here's a huge difference that I think Therese would agree with, especially if he had covered Mitch as closely as he covered Alex Smith.
Yeah.
Alex Smith is really smart.
So if you're a thinker, you can outthink it maybe if you're smart enough.
It's a complicated offense. And so, yeah, Andy Reid loved Alex Smith when he was in Philly. He loved him in that draft. He liked him so much because he did so well in the Wonderlic and the acumen and all that. Because he's like, man, I could throw everything at him. I could throw 70 plays at him for this week.
Yeah.
And then he can flush it all and he can learn a 60 new plays the next week.
That's not our guy.
Right. Exactly. And it's still, it took Alex Smith years. Right? It took him years to master Andy Reid's offense to the level that he did, which was going toe-to-toe with Brady in Foxborough in an AFC divisional round playoff game.
But he got there, even being more of a thinker than a player, he got there.
He got there. Now, can Mitch get there?
Not this year.
I don't know, but it strikes me as exceedingly unlikely because of what it seems like Mitch is between the ears compared to Alex Smith.
Makes all the sense in the world. Therese details one play, and the film of it is in there. I'll tweet out the link when we get to commercial, where it's a little dump off to Montgomery, 12 minutes left in the second quarter, right?
Yeah.
And Mitch is so slow to decide and then make that throw. And instead of Montgomery catching it with momentum as he's running and a chance to catch defenders who are leaning in the wrong direction, he catches it and has to come to a stop right away, and guys are closing in on him and focusing, and it's because Mitch is so slow in making that decision. He's overthinking as he does it. Just makes all the sense in the world.
He's clearly overthinking it, and then he panics and he tenses up and it gets regimented, and it's read one. And then he forgets to go to read two. And he locks in, and it gets bad.
And we're back to Shep and Tanny's question of how the hell do you walk away from 6 hours thinking that's my guy?
Matt Nagy was asked about Mitch hearing a lot of outside voices, right? Getting help from former coaches, friends, family, et cetera.
His expert are managing Mitch communications to him. Everybody, yourself, you got Brad Childress, you've got Mark. Dave Ragone, Chase Daniel, high school coach, TV. Is the kid's head going to explode, or how do you manage?
I hope not.
Who listens to?
No, but that's a real question, because sometimes it can be complete paralysis by analysis if you get too much of that, right? And so that's where we're not at that point, because we have a control of it within the building. So everybody that you just mentioned, we have our own method to how we go about, you know, handling him. The exterior family and friends. Everybody's a little bit different, and you know, the family, the friends thing, and all that. That's a separate. That's on him. But that's okay. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But I think we definitely have a good pulse on that. I've been around that whole communication process before.
His head exploding.
Is the kid's head going to explode, or how do you manage?
I hope not.
Tell you what,
I'm watching myself on TV.
No, give me a second here. Hear me out.
Okay.
Maybe that's the silver lining. that he's waiting on. Oh. And if Mitch's head explodes, silver lining found.
Is the kid's head going to explode, or how do you manage?
I hope not. For sure. I'm trying to get some of these TVs in the building turned off. Tunnel vision, earmuffs.
All right, was that Mitch? Mitch's head did explode after watching too much about himself on TV, I think is the narrative.
No, he wasn't watching. He was trying to figure out how to turn TV off. It was that flustering that his head just blew up.
Break out news. Electrocuted.
Blew out of.
Put it on the website.
I told you not to handle that TV.
Oh, my God. Can we hear that in an instant replay, please?
Is the kid's head going to explode, or how do you manage?
I hope not. For sure. I'm trying to get some of these TVs in the building turned off. Tunnel vision. Earmuffs.
I know what the problem is. The earmuffs were wet. That's the problem. He's wearing wet earmuffs. He'd been outside, so that he's trying to unplug the TVs. The earmuffs are wet. Boom, his head explodes.
Tanny just solved all of Bears fans' problems. It's amazing.
Lining silver.
Matt Nagy tries to explain a different problem before Rich Campbell at 4 on the score.
Is the kid's head going to explode, or how do you manage?
I hope not. For sure. I'm trying to get some of these TVs in the building turned off. Tunnel vision. Earmuffs.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The first game was not, I mean, it obviously wasn't a preseason game, but for me, like, I haven't played in a while, you know, so it was kind of like get all the nicks and bruises, get all the mess, the screw up in the plays, you know, all that type of stuff out, and I felt a lot better.
That's Trey Burton from September. After that first game, he had the sports hernia surgery. He missed the Eagles playoff game. It's been quite an odyssey with the Bears free agent tight end. This hour on The Score brought to you by CarX. Save up to $200 on four tires installed at CarX.
You know, you mix in an underwhelming Trey Burton performance with, I believe, a bust of a pick in Adam Shaheen, who doesn't really look like an NFL player. With the overall failures of the offense, you get this. Bears tight ends, last in touchdowns, last in yards per receptions, last in receiving first downs, 31st in receiving yards. That from Dan Durkin earlier today.
The production has been obviously pitiful. The reason why has been shrouded in a little bit more of mystery, especially with Burton. Like, are you healthy? Why aren't you healthy? How long have you been unhealthy? But you're playing. This is Matt Nagy trying to explain the whys of where we are with Trey Burton.
First and second down is, like I said, I think was Pandora's box. Like, you've got these plays in, you want to run, but because of the situations, you can't get to them as early in games as you want to. And I think Adam asked you about Tariq's production being way down. Trey Burton's numbers are even worse than Tariq's. I'm just wondering, just in general, the tight end position is such a big part of what you want to do offensively. Are you just having a harder time getting into the plays for the tight ends? Going up what you said kind of Monday, that you just, the situations just aren't really presenting themselves for you guys to do that?
A little bit of that, yeah. There's been some opportunities where we've had that, but certainly last weekend, when you end up with 45 plays and then you take third downs and red zones into account, there's not a lot of volume there. And then you take the run game and you have different players. That's hard. To me, one of the beautiful parts of this offense is that you have so many different players and weapons that you can get the ball to. And you saw that last year. There was a lot of distribution. That hasn't happened this year. And that's the part where we want to make sure, you know, for one game, if they're going to take A-Rob away, then you know, three other guys are going to show up. That didn't happen last week because we just didn't have enough plays. I mean, you just didn't. But there's other times where, yes, the tight end production wise, we, you know, those guys want to be able to have more production. But then, you know, when you have those guys on the field, the other guys you have, at times you're taking other good players off the field, and so it's just a juggling act. When you don't have a lot of plays and you're not getting first downs, you can't get into all that.
Is it overstating it to talk about the importance of that position? I mean, you watched Ertz last week. Obviously, he had a huge game for Philadelphia. You're with Kelce in Kansas City. It just seems like the style you're trying to run, a good U tight end, is really important to what you're trying to do. Is that overstating it too much?
No, it's not. But I'll say this with Trey. So Trey coming in here, we went into training camp and he just wasn't right at training camp. We felt that we wanted to pull back, and now we're trying to gradually get him back. He's been playing better and better each week. Do I think he's 100% yet? No, I don't. And so, you know, there's some opportunities that we've had here or there, but sir, it hasn't been, you're right, it hasn't been nearly as much as we wanted to. So between everything else that's going on, that's definitely a part that we would like to improve at.
Matt, is there a fine line with Trey specifically between him trying to grind through this, and when is it just not worth it?
Right.
I mean,
right. Right. Well, you want to have productivity, so you want to be able to. It's not fair to Trey, and it's not fair to us if that's the case. That's not where I feel like we're at. But I do. We always want to keep an eye on guys, and we watch. You know, if there's a guy that may be playing a little bit slower than we want him to, you always have to look at it. At least we do, where if somebody's on the field, is the defense concerned, right? That's how they're looking at it. And if they're on, so we always, every week, we want to make sure that we're trying to take all that into account.
And the answer to that question is a resounding no. Man, the NFL.
No.
It's a very binary sport. Like, if you're playing, we have to be able to judge you as if you are healthy.
Absolutely.
It's, you know, it's not. We know
it's unfortunate.
Everybody is hurting. It's a sport of pain, right?
Yep.
So if Burton's out there, he's expected to perform, period. You know, like, and so when he says he's not 100%, I think he's not 100%.
It's cruel, man. I thought about that during the Jermaine Whitehead stuff with the Browns. I mean, obviously, his ridiculous overreaction on Twitter aside, you're going after him for trying to tackle. He's playing with a broken hand. He can't rap.
Yeah.
You know? So, but if you choose to play, you're gonna get judged like a healthy player.
That's just how football is.
Yep.
You have to be held to that standard. The contracts aren't guaranteed. It's next man up, and that's why these guys often will play when they're not 100%, and that's the brutality of the sport. But if Burton's not 100%, then sit.
Because
if this is the level of production that you're getting, someone available has to be able to be better than 32nd in the NFL in production.
Unfortunately, you're talking about Ben Broniker or
Bradley, J.P. Holtz, who's a fullback.
Bradley Two-Way Soul.
Yeah. It's somehow it's actually the least talented position on the team right now.
Yeah.
Even though I really think that's quarterback. We'll give Rich Campbell weigh in on if they found a remote control for Mitch Trubisky next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.